Well, you've all been terrific. I don't know that we've ever, at least my reaction has been, ever spoken to a group that has been so responsive and attentive and warm and delightful and whatever other adjectives I throw in there. You've really been great. And, Josh, I've been praying about and looking forward to this for several weeks now. And I'd say God has answered our prayers beyond our expectations. So thanks for being here and being a part of this time. And of course, it's also thrilling for us as we watched Ron and Betty move into what we in the Navigators call a Stage 3 or layman's ministry, which basically is couples and churches, to see what God is doing. And see this many people out is a real obvious manifestation that God's hands on you, and that's great. And around the world, the 2-7 program that Ron has been developing and working on is being studied, used, and appreciated in every, as far as I know, just about every Stage 3 ministry we have. So keep up the good work. And as Bob and Pat join you, why, I'm sure it's going to increase because the Bible says it will. It says two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. So it's really great to be with you all and see God's working through you. And we appreciate the privilege of being here. Just want to read a little thing beginning. This last session, which is going to be very brief. There's a book back there by John Drakeford. I forget the name of it. But he has another book called Home, the Laboratory of Life, which is excellent. And this is a quotation from that particular book. May encourage you to buy the one he's got back there. He says, the home is the laboratory of life. The experiences one has within the family prepare him for social encounters he will have in the wider circles of life. The give and take within family life provides social experiences which will determine in large measure the type of adults the children will become. Children need to see partnership and committal of husband and wife to each other above all else to get a proper picture of what they should be as adults and as mates. Good marriages don't just happen. They have to be worked at. And I'm sure that in your time up here, that with Mary talking about priorities, those two with Jerry down below, that we really had to recognize that in this working of time that we have with the priorities of what needs to be done, that God has to have first place in our life. We have to live in communion with Him. But in that order of priority and responsibility, our mate has to be second. Now, by the very law of life, most of us have to work an average of about 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, or somewhere in that gamut. And it takes from that. But always remember that your job is to provide a livelihood, not to be your life. It's a means to support your family and should be done that way so that you can get at the real job, which is building your family relationship under God to maturity, and so you can really enjoy life together. And so after your responsibility to your mate comes your responsibility to your children, because they, to you as a husband and wife, are your first ministry. And the purpose of the job is not only to provide the needs for the family, but to provide a basis from whence you can fulfill the Great Commission of making disciples in every nation. Just as a sidelight, unless you happen to be a salaried person where you're free or own your own business, your job should not be involved in your ministry other than the type of life, the type of job you do. Your time when you work for an hourly wage is not yours. It's your employer's. You have no right to share Christ, to minister, or whatever you want to call it, on your employer's time. That's thievery. And really, it's an escape mechanism. It relieves you of the responsibility of taking other time to devote to that person and winning their friendship, that you have a better basis to share the gospel. Or it may be a little more costly in giving a lunch hour where you take somebody out to lunch, buy their lunch, that you can talk to them about Christianity. So keep things in proper perspective. Keep your time and priorities together. So when you look back, as some of us can now do, 30, 40, 50 years, you can look back and without question you can say, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. Because life is not wrapped up in material things. It's not wrapped up in possession or position. It's wrapped up in relationships. You and yours with God, and you and yours with those round about you, living in right relationships, helping people in that great divine quest to know, find, know, and serve God. And so keep those things before you in all that you do. Don't let the good things you do become the enemy of the best. Make sure that, as has been said, that you can say no to good things so that you can be involved in the best things. You've heard a lot of things today. You probably forget most of them. We just trust that some of the things that you've heard that God will speak to your heart will become more than just things that you've heard. As James says, be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. And as you go away, take over verses like 2 Corinthians 8:11. You know, now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, there may be a performance also of that which you have. And maybe you've decided by the grace of God you're going to be a better husband or a better wife. You're going to start putting some pizzazz in your marriage. You're going to start showing consideration in your marriage. You're going to start showing your kids some love and giving them some time. You know, it's easy to sit here and think that. I imagine most of us have had those kind of thoughts in various realms thousands of times, as we said, in church pews or someplace else. But it doesn't mean a thing until you put it in practice. But you can't do all of it at one time. But you can begin one by one. It's like memorizing Scripture. You know, every once in a while somebody comes up and say, boy, I wish I knew as much Scripture as you do. And I say, oh, you can. Do it the same way I did, one by one. An amazing thing is you'd knock them off one by one, and before long you have a tremendous repertoire of verses memorized. And the same thing is true of these other things. Take them one by one. We're going to give you a little assignment to do when you leave. And that'll fit into that thing. In James 4:17, it says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, it's sin. So you're accountable for a lot of things now that perhaps you weren't aware of before. But I can tell you this, if you do them, you'll benefit. If you do them, you'll start experiencing things in your life and marriage that you really didn't know were there. So do them. Don't just leave and say, hey, good time. It's really great. I'll never forget. What's his name? And we're not concerned about you remembering our names. But we want you to remember what we said, that God said. Because that's where life is. Now here's the assignment. I've got to change this because I just shortened the message by 15 minutes. Aren't you glad? Most of you probably are. If not, you should be. Okay, jot this down. This is your assignment. Write down three things you appreciate in your mate. Now, we want you to do this sometime before you get home tonight and back to the kids, you know. Stop along the way, Lover's Lane or something, you know. You may do what we can't do. You know, take your mate out for a hot fudge sundae or something and talk about it over the table. Maybe we'll break down and do that. But would you please write a note to my doctor and say we gave him permission to eat a hot fudge sundae? But write down three things you appreciate in your mate. Pray together and thank God for these things and for each other. Then write down three areas of personal weakness you need help in. Now, don't write down the areas of need of your mates. You know, write down three areas that you feel you need help in personally. Three areas of weakness. And share these with your mate. Then ask your mate to help you in the area you feel is the greatest need. Let me give you an illustration. I did this and I wrote down, I tend to overreact in situations. For example, if our little boy yells in the backyard like he's broken his leg, I go out and I say, "How come you did that stupid thing?" You know, instead of picking him up and loving him. Now, that's literally true. I think if he was careful, that wouldn't have happened. Why wasn't he careful? Because I overreact defensively. I don't want him to be hurt. And so I overreact the other way. And so I've asked Joyce to help me with that. Say, look, if I overreact, talk to me about it, will you? I say, now, you've got to remember that when you do, that you're opening yourself up for I may react against you. Yeah. Which is true. But she's willing to do that. Write an area of, you know, weakness. Three down, then pick the one you really feel you need the help in most and ask your mate to help you. I'm sure they'd be glad to. And then recommit yourselves to God and to each other. Recommit yourselves to God and to each other. Then I'd like to add one final thing that isn't there. And that is to, in this time, take your Bibles and read aloud Ephesians 5:21 through Ephesians 6:4 together. And they just say, you know, that's the kind of mate I want to be by the grace of God. Okay? Any questions? Then put under that 2 Corinthians 8:11. Now therefore perform the doing of it. All the wisdom in the world without application is empty and vain. So do it. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, what a good day this has been as we've just been able to share together and sense the warmth of the presence of the Holy Spirit and of these dear people. Thank you for allowing Joyce and I to be here. Just thank you that you are a God who cares. Lord, we do want to be the best person we can be. And by your grace, we want to do that. So we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name.